الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. With regard to difficulties and hardships that we go through, and the great insight ulama have given us, and from the lives of the Sahaba and the lives of the righteous and the pious, one aspect also of difficulties and hardships coming in our lives, Allah wants to give us that spiritual training, that this dunya's matters which appear good or bad in our eyes, in other words, smooth sailing, everything going in our favor, or difficulties, hardship that comes in whichever form, in our health, our family's health, finances, the loss of something, whatever it is, that these things don't mean anything to us. That's not the object of our lives. That our eyes are attached solely to the pleasure of Allah. And we are and Allah makes these conditions come so that our attachment to Allah is complete. And these little things don't disturb and worry us. And whether it is the what we call the good conditions, smooth sailing conditions, or difficult and hard conditions. But our eyes are just on Allah Ta'ala, and our eyes are on the Akhirah. Not that this dunya now everything is going nice, I'm happy, etc., or now I'm having difficulties, that our eyes just go away. Superficially, that the eyes still, these things have an effect on a person, outwardly. But in the heart, that person is completely at ease. An easy way to understand this is of Imam Abu, what is famous of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. He was a merchant also, he was a great, great alim, but he was a businessman also, and 40 ship loads of his goods were arriving. And the news came, was brought to him, that all those ships sunk and all those goods are completely destroyed. So he looked at it, paused a little while, looked down at his heart, and he said, Alhamdulillah. After some time, news came that was wrong information, that nothing like that, and that goods have come safely. Again he looked at his heart, paused for a while, and he said, Alhamdulillah. When he was asked about this, he said that the first time I saw, did this have this loss, this harm, did it have an effect on my heart? And I saw it had no effect on my heart, I said, Alhamdulillah. And when the great gain came, the great goodness came, again I saw on my heart, did it have an effect on my heart? I saw it had no effect. So I said, Alhamdulillah. So this is what Allah Ta'ala wants for us. So difficulties and hardships will come, but we have to develop that we, as so beautifully, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Na'mat aaye to itraye nahi. When a na'mat comes, goodness, what a good condition, we don't start becoming boastful and arrogant, that I did this, I got this, I achieved this. Even making shukr to Allah, which is the correct thing, but it doesn't overtake us, that now I'm like this, I've achieved this. Na'mat aaye to itraye nahi, musibat aaye to ghabraye nahi. And when also, that when difficult conditions come, then also you don't lose yourself and become totally despondent, and you become depressed and dejected and rejected, and you feel that I'm nothing whatsoever. That these conditions don't affect. Your heart is just attached to Allah Ta'ala. Whether when you are traveling on the road to reach your destination, on the way, if there are beautiful gardens on the side, beautiful sceneries, they mustn't distract you, and now you forget your object that you were going, and you get involved in this. Neither if there are some very hard and bad scenes, some very ugly scenes, dirt, filth, etc., That also must not distract you from your object. Your object is your object. So Allah brings these conditions. So another example by which we can understand, a person buys a material cloth, 3-4 meters of it, for sewing whatever clothes he wants to sew. Now the cloth is nicely, beautifully, it has been made, woven, and it is brought, and it's so wonderful. But now you yourself or the tailor will take a scissor and start cutting it up. And so the cloth feels that I'm so nice, I'm such a nice piece of cloth, and I must go through the suffering of being cut with a scissor. And like if we have to be cut, how will we feel? This cloth, just to make us understand, it's an example. The cloth says, I have to be cut up like this, and all this pain I have to go through, and I'm cut up. And then after that, that same cloth has to suffer the pain of the pricks of needles, endless pricks of needles, when it's going to be sewn now again. Now all the needles are pricking it so many times, where and where. But for the final result, after going through this difficulty, now it's a beautiful dress for a bride, or it's a beautiful clothing for a person, and he's going to make ibadat in that. He's going to make hajj, go for hajj. Of course, not the ihram, but the hajj he's going for. And he's making ibadat, he's making his tahajjud. Now that cloth had to go through this difficulty, and final result was that wonderful end result. So just like that, we also, Allah has made us now for our training. Allah let us go through this difficulties. But if we go through it in the correct way and we submit, if that cloth objects to the tailor and says, no, I'm not prepared to go through this yet, I don't want this. And that the cloth objects to the tailor when he's sewing and the needle pricks all the time, then the cloth will just remain like that. But when it goes through that, it becomes a beautiful garment. Also, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to give this example that a seed, the seed of anything, a fruit or anything else, if the seed is taken and it's put in the ground, now it has been humiliated and disgraced. It's buried under the ground. And now water is poured on it, irrigation. And now all muddy conditions, bad conditions have come on that seed. But it tolerates all this. It will grow into a tree. And then it will bear fruit. And that wonderful mangoes will be sought after throughout the world. And it will come on the table of great big people. And they will appreciate it. But if that seed is not prepared to go through that, and said, I'm not prepared to go through it, it will be thrown in a dustbin. And there it will be staying forever with all the filth and dirt, go to the dumping ground, and it will be thrown there. But it went through this little difficulty, it became not only that one seed, became 1,000 seeds, 1,000 trees. It went through that difficulty, now 1,000 other mango trees will come. And each one of them will bear in turn again, and it will just continue because it went through that little difficulty. So Allah brings this condition. So we learn this, the ulama explained from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that in the battle of Uhud, at the beginning Allah gave them such a decisive victory. And the leaders of the kuffar of the Quraysh, how they were slain. And it was an open victory for the Muslims. But one little misunderstanding, one little point that was where the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one pass on the mountain, he had posted 50 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. And he told them, whether we get massacred or whether we have victory, you stay here. You don't move from here. Massacred also, if you see us being getting massacred, you don't come down to help us. And if Allah gives us victory, and then the time comes to collect the booty of war, you don't leave here. But there was some misunderstanding, and only 10 Sahaba remained, the Amir of them and 10. The others left their post. And then Allah changed this whole open victory into a temporary, what a defeat and what... Who and who got a shaheed then after that? And what pandemonium broke out in the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu after that? So Allah brought this condition so that forever, through the Sahaba, Allah will make them those guiding stars, ashabi kan nujum, bi'ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum. Whoever you will follow, you will get guidance. So Allah made it that they became, and in the ummah, they will find such great, great awliya. They took their lessons from there. That, لِكَيْ لَا تَعْصُوا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا أَصَابَكُمْ. That what difficulty came to you, عَلَى مَا آتَاكُمْ. What difficulty come, you don't get worried of that. What goodness come, you don't worry about that. Your object is your object. So this is how we find endless people in the ummah, they took these lessons from there. So it isn't something when difficulties come upon us that we feel we just become completely, we lose hope in everything. And worst of all, that we have objections on Allah Ta'ala. That is the way of a munafiqeen. But a mu'min, whatever difficulties, he makes sabr. And he accepts it. And at the end result of his is just too wonderful. That is even in this dunya, and the main will be at the time of mort, in the qabr, what Allah will give permanently on that. So that is also one reason the ulama have given, that difficult and hard conditions that come to us, what's the cause and the reason of those conditions, and how to remedy it. So whenever any good conditions come, we should not become arrogant and boastful about them. Or we shouldn't even feel complacent that now I've achieved this, I've achieved that. Good conditions, make Allah shukr and still realize I'm a humble servant of Allah Ta'ala. And also realize this is also one remedy which many people also, it bothers them, and they ask this, that when we, Allah's ni'mat have come, and now people are praising me from all sides. People are telling me, you are so good, you read so well, you all your goodness, the people are speaking about it. Then so the one answer to this is, that you just is, first of all, realize, it's not my achievement. It is solely from Allah Ta'ala. And to boast about somebody else's thing, that is a very bad quality of a person. What is not yours, and you want to boast about it, just because, and people also are such when they come and they praise you, be 100% sure on your face he's praising you, and he'll hardly have turned his face, and then he will be criticizing you. He just turn his face and he'll talk bad about you. This is a general condition of people, just on your face to make you happy or for some other motive they have got. Usually like with the boss or a big person, a person in charge, workers who want some concession, they will come and they will give gifts. They will give presents also. But at the back, it will be completely different. We find some people, they come here to the madrasa also, collectors especially from overseas. And we see them, they come in the parking, and then after that they wear a khanka topi. Otherwise they got their own topi. But now when they're going to come meet, they wear a khanka topi. And they meet, and all the praises and everything, what and what they say. They just want a letter of recommendation. Or they want you to phone somebody and tell them that these are good people, you must give to them. So it is. So that is the nature of people. So a person must not be overtaken with this. This is what people do. So this is a common thing. So in front of you they will praise you, and at the back, and if you didn't give that letter, or you didn't concede to whatever, then see the criticism that comes. And then see what they speak about you. So we shouldn't be overtaken with all these things. This happens all the time across the board. Whoever it is, even your own children, little children, when you do what they want you to do, you are the best father and the mother in the world. And when you don't, then they are so angry with you and so upset with you. And why was I even born in this house? I should have been born somewhere else. Why was I even born here? So this is a common thing. We mustn't be worried about that. So people's praises, what they praise you, don't be overtaken by that. Keep your objective of life in mind. And our object is not at all dunya, it's not to please the people of dunya. We have to please Allah Ta'ala. Keep that one objective in mind. And if you want to please people, remember definitely you can never please all the people. If you make this decision, the half or whatever percentage is going to be upset with you. Other half going to praise you. You made the most right, correct decision. You are the most intelligent person. You think so far ahead. And the other half, what criticism they're going to pass will be completely different. So you can't. Who you can please is Allah Ta'ala. Allah is one. You please Him. And yeah, you'll get a slap on this side of your face. And if you turn your face the other side, you'll get a slap on the other side. You can't please the people of this world. But with Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala, you please Him. And don't worry of pleasing anyone else. And when Allah wants to, He will make the people pleased with you. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this one objective, to please Allah. At the end, finally, the great victory, his arch enemies, worst enemies, also became his ardent followers. And they gave their lives for him. So we have to keep that in mind. So we should not be disturbed with the things of this dunya. Don't keep our eyes on here. And these conditions which come, good conditions, favorable conditions, or adverse conditions, we should not be influenced by them. The people will make people's work is that they're always criticizing. We shouldn't be concerned about that. We, in the light of Quran and Hadith, in the light of the lives of our elders, refer to our elders and then see if I'm doing the right thing or I'm not doing the right thing. That is what our concern should be. Not to please people and not to, when people criticize, not to get influenced by that, and then we stop doing the right thing that we have to do also. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, and Allah put this understanding in our hearts, and to study the lives of our elders, and this is not only from the study of the academic cause of an alim cause. These things don't come in that cause. That is why we are advised and strongly advised to stay in the company of the mashayikh. That is where we will get, when our spirituality will become matured, then we will start understanding these things. Just by what we learn in the kitabs and becoming an alim and even becoming a mufti, this is not part of the course. These things are not taught there. That is a complete different thing. And what is learned here, this maturity, the spiritual training and spiritual maturity is something completely different. That when a person gains that, then he understands the life and the ups and downs of life and how things are going. Otherwise, even good people get overtaken by these things. We have the knowledge, but we won't be able to apply that knowledge. How to apply the knowledge, that is a complete different thing. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. Then we were speaking about the keeping of rozas and about the control of the eyes. And the control of the eyes which normally we take, that is not to look at other women. That is what we take, the control of the eyes. But it goes much more beyond that also. And control of the eyes, that we don't look down upon anyone. We don't look with a critical eye to find fault. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that, for example, you are driving and now you must concentrate on the road. Don't Hazrat say that the driver of the car, he must keep his gaze on the road, his car, where am I going? And if he looks at the other cars, and for example, what shaitan will put in the mind, Hazrat used to say, that is this a female driver or a male driver? Especially if that car, they just came a bit in your way or something. Now you look, who is the driver? Hazrat said, look at the car, not at the driver. If you're going to look at the driver, you're going to make an accident. If you look at the car, it mustn't bump me. I must be on my guard. So, and then what you want to see then, with that this driver, if it's a female driver, then easily we start passing that females how they drive. They are not good drivers, etc. So as I said, nobody made you a research officer. That is your duty to see now that how many female drivers and how they drive and what's the condition of their driving. Shaitan in the meantime put you into another guna. So with this eyes of ours, it is, one is not to look, that is generally which it refers to. But it also refers, don't look at the lifestyle of other people. And don't look at the faults of other people. For the sake of finding faults, don't look at people and find faults. So that is also one great rosa that we have to keep, the rosa of the eyes. That we don't look at any other woman also, which we are not allowed to look at, and where we have to. That is, for example, a optician. He won't only look at the female. He will, if he has to, if a female patient comes to him, then he will look right into the eye, and he will look at it through the machine, and the eye, he will enlarge the eye to see everything. So how directly he will look. But of course, there is again another lesson of necessity. Then everyone should consider what is his necessity. How much is the permission for me? And then again, after that, to have a guilty conscience. And this applies not only to the doctor, a male doctor, and if a female patient comes, sometimes he will have to do so much of tests on her, what and what he'll have to look at, and where he'll have to look at. But with all this, that guilty conscience goes, and at the end, to make tawbah istighfar. And Allah give us tawfiq. We have to go our workplace, most of us working people, and we women also come. At the end of the day, at least, regularly, but at least at the end of the day, to make tawbah and istighfar. So even if we just go, for example, on a in public transport, where there is a train, a taxi, the plane, and now we sit with non-Muslims and we were so close to them also, then at the end, to make tawbah, because that definitely has an effect on you. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in those days, 100 years ago, he should go to Mewat, which was known that time, even now, but that time much more, as a very backward place. There was like no life there, what we call, there was no dunya there at all. And he should go solely for the sake of deen, nothing else, only for the sake of deen. Mix with the people just for the sake of deen. And only, of course, with the males. Women that time were much more, they had sharam, haya. So there was no real question of even just the eyes falling on a woman. But when he used to come back, he should go to the khanqahs of Gangoa and Saharanpur and go and have his heart cleaned again. Because that effect of it came, he felt it. But today, we will be with the non-Muslims, we will be with females in our workplaces, offices, and we don't feel any darkness on the heart. Because the dark, as we heard in the hadith now, has become so dark already. Now, like when your kurta, when you got a clean white kurta, you wore on Juma. Now one spot fell, you realize it. If you don't worry about it, another spot fell, another spot fell, and you're only going to change your kurta the next Friday. By then your kurta has become so dirty. And when it has become so dirty, one more black spot makes no difference to you. So like that, if our hearts have become like that, and we should consider what the condition of our hearts are. Do we feel this guilt that now whole day I was in the shop, whole day I was in the shops, I had to go to different supermarkets everywhere. Do we feel anything? There was some music playing. We were speaking to the teller, to the lady at the till, at the teller, at the bank. And do we feel anything, that any black spot came on the heart? If we don't feel, then we really need a overall, complete overall our heart needs. If we feel, we should at least make tawbah istighfar. At the end of the day, when we come home, If we can make two rakats of Salat al-Tawbah after Maghrib, what our nafils of Maghrib, or if we just like that, even in our heart we make Tawbah while driving home, but that is if we will feel it. So Allah give us tawfiq of that, then realize that the wrong usage of the eye has become so common that we don't even think of it as a guna. A person normally, he will study the whole alim course, and he did the tafsir, and not only the tafsir, the details of the ayat, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَخُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, the details of it he will know, all the other ahadith and the ayat also, but still his eyes are not under control. And it doesn't even dawn on a person that by looking at the other woman is haram, it's not permissible. It doesn't even dawn. The same person, he will have to go and take a photo for his passport. And it doesn't dawn on him that this is haram. But it's a necessity, and to the extent which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, you have to take a photo because you are forced to, for your ID, for your passport. Then don't be smiling when you take that photo. Be like sad. That I have to do a guna. Like if a person has to eat haram just to survive, there is no food, he didn't get, and only to survive. Now when you eat that haram, you don't eat it with relief and enjoyment. You are forced just to keep you alive, and you only allowed to eat also, and you'll also eat only just so much to keep you going. Not with enjoyment. So when we take that photo also, we should have that sad look on the face. But today we find that the photos are taken in color, and especially women beautify themselves when they take those beauty photos, etc. So that should not be the case. We should be conscious of these things. Similarly, one thing which is happening, and again this is that those of us who are the pious people, those who regard themselves as pious, that is observing Roza. And also for Roza, iftari is also a great meal. Allah has put goodness into iftari. And the preparation of the iftari, it is done today by those women who are alimas, who are the daughters of alims, sisters of alims, all this, who are in tabligh, who are in tasawwuf, in the khanqah, all that. And you prepare whatever that dessert is, or whatever it is, and what's happening, a photo is taken, and it's shared on the groups also. Now, just as it is haram to take the photo of an animate object, that is totally haram, to take this photo which is not an animate, inanimate, like that it will be jais, but here it is taken, why is it shared on the groups? It is a boastful, that I prepared this like this, or the dastarkhan is set, the whole dastarkhan is set, and now a photo is taken of the dastarkhan, and it is shared on the group at all. And what is the object? To show that I prepared what I prepared today, and to solicit praises. وَيُحِبُّونَ يُحْمَدُ بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا, that now they want praises also, all must praise them also. And then it's also encouragement that others must also outdo this. Now somebody, you did so much, for them again, they have to do more than this. And then the next person must do. So the whole object just becomes that iftari. The whole roza, the object of roza becomes the iftari. Whereas roza, the object is something else. And the time, and this is also another very important thing. All our things, al-ibratu bil-khawatim. The end result is the most important. And we must see all our things as we are coming to the end. What is that natural attitude that is building? That at the end of the roza, that am I make shukr to Allah, I kept roza, that guilty conscience that I didn't fulfill. One day of my life is gone. Today is gone. What did I do? Even my namazes I made. One time Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali wrote to his Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that I'm feeling so like despondent and that I haven't made even two rakats of namaz properly in my life. these people and their status, what is that, and what is the quality of their namaz. But he says, I haven't even made two rakats. And what reply Hazrat gave? Hazrat says, you are worried of two rakats. I'm worried I haven't made one sajda properly in my life. And we find great buzurgs who say that we fear on the day of Qiyamah, my one subhanallah won't also come out right. So this is that fear that a person has. Now all this preparation and encouraging towards dunya. So the end of the amal, when the time of iftari comes, more we should be turning to duas to Allah Ta'ala. More we should be making tawbah, istighfar. I didn't keep my... At the end of namaz, the dua, which the greatest teacher, Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, taught the greatest student, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the greatest ibadat, namaz. And at the end, he teaches him to read, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Oh Allah, I did a wrong to myself, a very great wrong. You perform namaz. What wrong did you do? But I couldn't make that namaz as a salat, as what it's supposed to be. So I'm asking you, oh Allah, you forgive me. So the end of the roza must be that. Not that we are taking photos now. Not that we are going to make this elaborate all savouries and all the, for iftari, all the things that we are doing. And then worse on top of it. To put in the negative way, to put the cherry on the top, we are taking a photo and now we are sending it around. Now we are waiting for praises also. And now we are encouraging all this. And this I'm talking is in our people who are the pious, the alimas, the alim's wives, the alim's daughters, the people in Tabligh, the people in Khanqa, other people, that is different. We are in, this is our condition. And this is becoming, unfortunately, where the cell phone, like Allah reward Maulana Hanif Chalandri, the Ahmed Barakatum, who's a very senior alim, and recently he has, when a senior ustad of the madrasa passed away, and a very, very big janaza, and he gave a bayan. In that bayan, he explained that we had a meeting of the top ulama of Pakistan, in which Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, was also present. And there, unanimously, they agreed that from now, photo taking is haram. And he announced it, and up to then, they agreed that it's permissible. The other view which we take, there are two views, they retracted from their view. And he said that from now, no more photo taking in the madrasa, and he explained the harms that have come. That masjids have become like wedding halls, and our Hajj and Umrah, ziyarat, in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, selfies that are taken because permission was given. Ulama gave permission. And in front of Kaaba Sharif, and the worst guna of photo taking. And a person is just worried about that he'll go home, or not even go home now. Before it was when you go home, you'll show them. Now immediately that photo is sent away. That, yeah, I'm in front of Kaaba Sharif, yeah, I'm in front of Rao. And in fact, the people are taking, videoing and talking to the people at home. And they're showing the video, they are sending it. That the whole essence of Hajj and Umrah, ziyarat of by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So anyway, at the end of every amal, that feeling, one shukr to Allah Ta'ala, but more, like our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali visited our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahab Rahmatullah Ali and said, I've heard from so many who I asked, they say they're your students. They did hifz by you. And that first there were hardly any huffaz, which was a reality. When we were young, we know still clearly there were in the whole of what was known as the Transvaal, and this from Springs to Krugersdorp,
the Rand.
There were very few masjids where there was a Quran Tarawih. Otherwise, it was just Alam Tara. No Hafiz at all. And where they got some Hafiz, that Hafiz was shirt and pants, and he was clean shaven. And then other people had objections. How can you make such a person an imam? Even if he's reading Quran Sharif, how can you make such a person an imam? There, but when Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahib, Allah chose him, and he made Huffaz, and from then, today almost every masjid got a Hifz class. And how many Huffaz are plentiful today? Only Allah's fadl. So our Shaykh asked Hafiz Sahib, how many students did you, how many Hafiz have you made? So Hafiz Sahib instantly said, that I will know in the Qabr. What is accepted by Allah, that is how many I have made. So that fear a person must have. On that our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said in those days, that if I had 100,000 rand, I should give it to Hafiz Sahib for that answer. That he reached the reality. That not just for name, fame, that I made, I've got a whole list, so many Hafizas and that. No, that we'll see in the Qabr. What is accepted, that is. So at the end of an Amal, this is that condition. Not that it is like a jovial mood, now taking photos here and sending it on the groups, etc., and making all this and worried about that. And no time when you are taking that photos, when you're going to make dua. And if you are making dua, also that I hope I get praises from everyone. What kind of du'as will a person make also? So Allah Ta'ala makes it that the reality comes into us. And that reality doesn't come from kitabs also. That reality will come when we stay with the Ahlullah and with the Mashayikh. So Allah Ta'ala bring this into our lives so that we don't just become frivolous, just superficial. Just the top things, we have it of deen, and just a veneer of deen, and just some technical terms of deen. But inside it is full dunya, and which dunya? Dunya of the worst enemies of Islam. What we call today like modern world, Western world, their ways of life, fully we have brought it into us, and now we're just giving it an Islamic flavor, and we are happy that we are very good Muslims. So Allah Ta'ala save us from there. So one is the guna of the eyes that we have to train ourselves. And in this month, Ramadan is to stay away from haram. We have to stay the whole year, whole life we have to stay. This Ramadan is to stay away from permissible things. Our food is halal. No, roza, you can't eat. Your halal food, 100% halal. Not declared by any halal authority, declared halal by Allah. But you can't eat it. It's permissible, but you can't eat. Your drink, your sexual desires, your wife, you are newly wed, you have got so much desire for your wife, but you can't. During the period of Roza, it's not permissible. So we have to stay away from the permissible. From there we learn to make our Islah, to gain the taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ That taqwa, stay away from other permissible things with your eyes also. During this month, they don't look at permissible things also. Look only what is absolutely necessary. And look only what is from the deeni side. Like Quran Sharif, look at it. You make a khidmat of your mother, your father. You look at her, you make her khidmat. You respect and honor them. But even permissible things you don't look at. Now, all this photo taking and all this video of that whole Dasturkhan, where does this come in here? So we guard ourselves. And when we stay away from the permissible, during the 30 days, ayyam ma'adudat, a training course is usually compared, you get trained to become a plumber, an electrician, whatever it is. It may be a 6 months course, maybe a year, 2 years course. But you're going to work on it 60 years in your life now. So the training period is only the Ramzan short period. But the effect of it, if you got properly trained, will be forever. Your whole life you will apply what you got trained for you. Then you stayed away from permissible things, Allah will save you from haram. Whole life you will be, you won't have to make an effort now. Just like during your training course, your trainer, he will be hard on you also. They don't do this. This is not the way to do it. But your whole life, now it just becomes your nature. Not even your second nature, it becomes your nature. Then to stay away from looking at other women, etc. to look down upon other people, to look at the dunya people's lifestyle, and worse, not only dunya people, which are Muslims, which are wealthy people, who are living a life of ghaflat, but non-Muslims, enemies, the pure agents of shaitan. We are looking at their lives, and we are cherishing their lives, and we are enjoying their sports, their holidays, their clothing, everything of theirs, how they do. We are cherishing all that. And if they got brand names, we also got brand names for our burqas also, and our cloaks also, and kurtas also got brand names now. So even our dini things all were brand names and that. So we're just giving it an Islamic veneer, but it is all that. So we should try and stay away from that. So this month we do our lesson training, and a person, fortunate is he who passes at the end of his training. If we did our course of 6 months, 2 years, 1 year, plumbing, electrician, whatever, but we fail at the end, then and to pass here is very, very easy. Allah made it very easy. You have to pass here. Like, for example, many of us might know that you go for your gun license, and you have to go through a course, you have to do it. And then at the end, you have to write an exam, and that person tells you what the answer is. You have to choose between A, B, and C. Yeah, you choose C. So he says Allah made Ramzan even more easier than that. More like that, you can't fail. You get 100%. And after that, he himself marks your paper and you get 100%. And now you will get your gun. It's gone through now. You have passed your exam also. This year, more than that, Allah has made Ramadan. And still if we fail now, when the person tells you, and it happens, the people sitting there for the exam, and he tells you, you choose C is the right answer, yes. And they say, we'll put A. And they get the wrong, and they get it wrong also. So if Ramzan, if we still get it wrong, then where Allah has made it more easier than that. So, and a person really who has been blessed with the control of the eye, one of the greatest namas that person has got. His married life with his wife becomes a life of jannat in this world. He enjoys with his wife. She is the most beautiful in his eyes. He doesn't think, he doesn't look at anyone else. But a person, otherwise, we all know the condition, unfortunately, which is in our homes today. Looking at one's wife, a person doesn't get enjoyment. Looking at another woman, there he gets all the enjoyment. In haram, our enjoyment. And that is a sad condition, that a person finds enjoyment in haram, and in halal, he doesn't get enjoyment. And just again, according to the kitab, it is that you will get enjoyment looking at haram, and you have to control yourself. But when you come into tasawwuf, you will find that your enjoyment is in halal, and you will actually get that enjoyment. And in haram, you will detest it, you will dislike it. Aversion will come in you for the haram. So this is this department which is absolutely essential also. May Allah give us all tawfiq, and may Allah make this Ramadan the source of our islah and nisbat and connection with Allah, the love of deen and the love of all the faraid and the nawafil also, mustahabbat also. Otherwise, in the alim course, what we learn, that this is nafil, so it's not important to do. In the course of the tasawwuf you do, it's nafil, got so much value. How can you leave it out? You can't leave it out. How can you lose all this? Where you can make your business, then you buy for 100 rand and you sell for 1,000. And where you learn, you can sell it for 10,000. Then you say, no, it doesn't matter. The other 9,000, not important. As long as you just got your 1,000 here. No, this is where you learn that 9,000 is also so valuable. All the nawafil are important. And knowledge was really not to discard amal. Knowledge was to do more amal. But today, generally, alims, alimas, this is a nafil. This is a sunnat. This is not important. And we just leave it out. And how we are doing our faraz, al-amanul hafiz also. How we are doing our faraz also, and in there also, that in the faraz also, subhanallah, one time is also enough. And we know all the masail, that if you don't read this also, it's also alright. then your farz will be done. Wuzu, just a slapdash wuzu. One time face, hands, legs, massage a little bit, and your wuzu is done. Whereas, here you will learn to make your wuzu properly, how important it is. May Allah give us all tawfiq, and let us get the reality of deen, and make this Ramadan, which is the ideal condition, that we absorb it, and we bring it within us, into the crevices of the heart, every hair and nail of the body. Allah brings this deen into it, and the enjoyment and the pleasure of practicing on deen.